I wanted to very briefly before starting the next sugya, which is a really, really interesting sugya. It's really interesting. Gemara is interesting in its own right, but I do understand finally, if you want to use this parak to do a large other part of Shas, you actually could. Because there are a lot of very interesting Dine Mamonos topics that arise in discussion here and could serve as a launching pad, which I don't know how much we're going to do, but I certainly want to at least expose you to some of the issues. I also want to comment that in going over these Gemaras, I hope, and I know you're probably not going to do it the first time around, but the second time you go through the Gemara, you should make sure to look up all the parallels. It's just very... In most of the cases, I don't think that they present a fundamentally different approach, but it's interesting to see, firstly, a large part of the sugya is found in duplicate in Bava Kamma, significant part, at least almost the first blot. It's important to note also, because if you're looking to find Rishonim commenting on something, if the Rishonim don't comment here, they may comment on the parallel sugya. Happens to be a topic, I don't know how much we're going to talk about, is the bottom Tosus and Lama Gimel and Beis. The Tosus, it's a short Tosus, it's a very conceptually important point. It doesn't appear in Tosus and Bava Kamma. It's only in Tosus and Bava Kamma doesn't address the issue. I haven't looked to see which other Rishonim address it, but as methodologically speaking, in preparing the sugya, so be aware that parallel sugyas have value not only in terms of illuminating potentially certain aspects of the sugya, but also in terms of if you're looking for comments of Rishonim, what doesn't appear in one place might appear in the other place. Or to paraphrase Chazal's comment, Divrei HaTorah, Aniyim b'malkom echad v'ashirim b'malkom acher. So, anyway, before we start, I wanted to just touch upon one more Tosus, just the second half, which was the last teretz in the Gemara. The Gemara had suggested in a Makar 4 the idea that a person is, that a chova b'chavero is mishalim v'ino loka would have been the parsha of v'chi yirivun anoshim. And one of them strikes the other. And the Torah says that if the other one who was struck gets better, so means that the Gemara said that your malame chachov shino sobeves asur, and you put the guy in prison until you see what happens to the wounded fellow. If the wounded fellow dies, then you have a murder trial. If he doesn't, then you have a Sheves and Ripui trial, Sheves and Ripui estimation, and he pays Sheves and Ripui. So Tosos makes a very important observation here. So the Gemara then says, so what does that prove? It proves that if you should have been, you're mazin on the chavala, and yet you still pay, you don't get malchus. You still pay, and presumably you don't get malchus. So you see that in a case of chavala, you're mishalein ve'eno loka. Fine? So the Gemara says, and the assumption is, it must be even us. So you could say, maybe it's a case where you didn't get hasra. Maybe that's why, since Rabbi Yochanan holds that hechadol hisrubei mishalim v'eino loka, but hechad hisrubei loka v'eino mishalim normally. So maybe the case of v'nikam akeh was a case where they didn't give hasra. So the Gemara says that can't be, because if they didn't give hasra, then you can't give mises beisdin, so there's no point in locking him up in jail. So it must have been that they gave hasra, and nonetheless he struck his friend, and in the end his friend didn't die, so there was hasras. And so therefore, and the assumption is musra ledavar chamar have musra ledavar kal, and therefore if in fact in a situation where you got hasra for lo yosef, for chavala, if in such a situation you got hasra and now there's mamon or malchus b'fanein, you see that mishalim ve'ino loka. So the Gemara's answer is no, maybe it's a case where there's no hasra, and the reason why we're locking him up in jail is because we want to see if if the nechbal dies. Why? Because if he dies, then the fellow who was locked up in jail now has to go to Arei Miklat, which is a little odd. If only because I think when a guy is convicted of accidental murder, you don't have to lock him up in jail until he sees Ghost Arei Miklat. We have a built-in jailer in the process. The built-in jailer is the Goel Hadam. In fact, I think one of you showed me a Ritva. I don't know who it was. Was asking about a Ritva, but one of the things the Ritva says is that once the Gemara says V'nikah Makeh refers to Shogeg, it's not referring to it's not referring to that you're no longer chobesh hasobah beis asurin. Right? Now, menikah makah is to teach you a different din, which is that niskaven lahara gazeh v'hara gazeh is pata from galus. I don't want to talk about this ritva. It's a little complicated. But who showed me this ritva? Who is? Somebody did. Whoever the somebody is must not be in shir right now. So okay, so Daniel will we'll go over the tally to figure out who it was. So anyway, so on this top, so that was what the Gemara says. So on the topic of shogeg, Satosis has a couple of issues. Number one, which is a technical issue I don't want to dwell upon, I'm not even going to read, but I'll just mention it to you. There's an interesting Gemara in Gittin that states that if I go up to someone and I'm shochet shnayim o rov shnayim, I cut half of his, somehow I managed to avoid the carotid artery, but I managed to shecht a rov of the trachea and esophagus. But the concern is, so the person's going to die, but if the person moves and jerks around, and let's say it was shogeg somehow, we were learning hilchos shechita and shir, and some very unwise volunteer stepped forward, and I took out what I thought was my plastic knife, and it turned out it was a real knife, and I accidentally severed simanim. So if he thrashes around, the Gemara says, I am pata from galus. Why? Because maybe he hastened his death. And therefore, I'm only chayev. So the mashmos is you're only chayev on galus if you didn't hasten the person's death. So if you have a guy who I punched his lights out, but I didn't b'shogeg, whatever that means, I don't know what I was trying to do. But if I was shogeg and I punched his lights out,
swinging a bat during baseball and you hit him,
then if he doesn't die immediately, what's the point of being chovei shmi b'beis ha'asurin? After all, if he doesn't die immediately, I'm pata from galus. So Tosus gives it there. Tosus says that maybe it's only by a case. He gives two teirutzim, but the more relevant one is maybe it's only the only time we say that maybe the nechbal, the nirtzach hastened his own death is when literally he was in the case of a beis hashchita, where really he's kind of on the edge, and if he does something, he's the one who really might bring death upon himself. But a guy who's not in that state of being, so for him, we're not choshes, the Gemara says shema haruach bebalatu, not he hastened it, but maybe the wind did it. So it really wasn't me alone wasn't enough to cause his death, but rather maybe there was another contributing factor, the ruach, and therefore I'm pata from galus. So here Tosa says, mistama, that's only true by beis hashchita. But if a guy you just punch, but it's not like he's literally on the precipice with the slightest motion, might cause him to die, so then you can't say, we're not choshes shema ruach bebalatu. Okay, that was the first teretz in Tosas. The Ritva's teretz there, by the way, the Ritva's understanding is that the Torah is not telling you lock him up. The Torah is telling you that if the guy doesn't die immediately, you're part from galus. That's the chiddush of Nikah Makeh. Okay, however, now Tosas asks a very important question. Tosas says, obviously, when we're... So Tosas says, if you look at the second half of Tosas, anybody, Schlein, you read this, right? You learned this, right? Who else looked at this Tosas? What? Anybody else see this Tosas? I don't think I asked you to do it. What?
Which Tosas?
Tosas Dilma B'Shel gave me Nikami Galus. The long one on Lamed Gimel Amid Beis. Lamed Gimel Amid Beis. You're looking in the wrong place. Okay. So, Danny, go ahead. This is the Im Tomar. It's a little more than halfway through the Tosas.
Okay, the Im Tomar. Heichim to come kra b'shogeg. Aktiv shevet b'kra. Aktiv shevet b'kra. Rashi tell you pain that the gomer b'shogeg lo michayeg. Kedamriyam so perikes al regel.
The marbe.
The
marbe.
The marbe. The marbe b'petzataka patsa. B'chayeg al hashogeg kamezid nezek al lo arba.
Yes. So the rule is, that if you are, I think that's a sort of four, if you look at the Gemara there, there are actually four stages. Tosas is going to establish one here that maybe wasn't obvious. If you're shogeg legamre, so then you only pay nezek, you don't pay chamisha dvarim. If you're miskaven lahazik, I'll give you the liminal cases first. I'm going to leave out the middle cases for the moment. If you're miskaven lahazik, even if you had no kavana to embarrass the person, but you had kavana for the nezek, so then you are potur, you're chayev on even on boshes. Right? In other words, even though we say that you have to be mazed on the nezek to be mechayev in the arba dvarim, you don't have to be mazed on the boshes to be mischayev in the boshes. Yep. Okay. So niskavin lahazik afal pishon niskavin levayish, you chayev on boshes. There are situations in between. The Gemara does have a situation where I think that you are a what the case is. Let's pull the case. It's, by the way, this Gemara is an absolutely fascinating sugya. It gives you all these very interesting sort of conceptual parameters for the various aspects of nezik and what you're chayev. The Gemara has a case there. Rabbah says that if a guy falls off the roof and he becomes impaled upon a woman sexually, so this was a case, by the way, that prompted a lawsuit in the University of Chicago Law School, I believe it was. Some student claimed sexual harassment on the part of the professor because he cited this case. It was actually to understand legal theory. Crazy people in the world. Mamish Meshugayim in the world. He cited this Talmudic case, you know, for purposes of explaining certain things about law, and he was sued. The student sued, or filed a complaint, maybe it was, you know, with the university for sexual harassment. But there's
he
a case.
Did it in the whole class, or one on one with the student?
No, in the class.
Wait,
what?
I'm just telling you. He cited this case.
By citing it, he got sued.
Well, the claim of constructing such a case was a form of sexual harassment. Don't ask. Go Google it. You'll find it. It's unbelievable. It's simply unbelievable. Anyway, it is an unbelievable case, too. But so a guy falls off the roof. He's niska be'isha.
Are you sure you want to tell us about the case now?
if any of you claim sexual harassment, there's really a problem here. Okay? It's a woman. Chayim ba'arba dvarim. He's chayiv on the arba dvarim, meaning nezek, tsar, sheves, and ripoy. Uviyivimto lo kana. Legame yibam, for those doing dafyomi, know that you can have each party be, one party can be shogeg, one party can be mazed, but and you kona by yibam. You don't need das for yibam, but you need kavana for a maisabia. So since he had no kavana for a maisabia, therefore he's not kona by yivimto. And then the Gemara explains, chayiv benezek b'tsar, but the Gemara said earlier, or in verses in a few lines, that by boshes you need kavana lahazik, you don't need kavana levayish, but you need kavana lahazik. For the other ones, apparently, you don't need kavana lahazik, right? That person, nonetheless, he's chayev in arba dvarim. So why is the guy chayev in the arba dvarim there? So Rashi says, "Kegon shenafal beruach metzuya, v'havale karav lemesed." If you're totally shogeg on the nezek, so then you can't be chayev in arba dvarim. But if you're already a posheya b'miktas, so then you can be chayev in arba dvarim, but you're not chayev in boshes because you weren't miskavin lahazik. Yes, David.
Is that curious? Does any rishonim or anyone comment on sort of the oddity, or at least the
no, so no, we're not bothered by oddity of cases. You ever learn Maseches Yevamos? Go learn Maseches Yevamos. You'll understand.
Yeah,
we're not bothered by oddity.
Learning we want with you.
What's that?
You asked a question.
You never even got to the really good parts of Yevamos in this regard. Okay, so the bottom line is that that there's no that cases that never happen never actually bother
no,
the Gemara.
No, the mechanisms involved. Like, it just seems like sort of physically odd. That's all.
It is physically odd. Okay.
No one would bother to comment.
No.
It's bothered me for years. It's really.
Okay. So Tosus continues. V'yesh lomar.
V'yesh lomar. There we go.
Okay, if a guy giving the Malkus gives an extra lash and then the guy dies, so Tosa says that he goes to Ari Miklot And if the guy doesn't die, he pays Arba Dvarim. Now, okay. So you can have a case in between where you're shogeg legabe the galus, but it's enough of a pshia. And the interesting case there, of course, is why is he chayim in galus? It should be shogeg karv lemezid. So the Gemara works out an answer there that they miscounted, but he wasn't the one who was counting. It was the dayan who miscounted, and this poor shlemasa who was given the malchus just listened to what the dayan told him. So apparently that's a real shogeg for galus. But semi you are chayav dal dvarim. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Below
shogeg. It's not like a regular shogeg where you pato on dal dvarim. Oh, another example. Kagon. No birshus. I think the Gemara actually is.
Oh, it is birshus.
Yeah, I think that if you look at
the
Gemara has a discussion what it is, but it makes more sense if it's birshus. The Mucha Chasam, no, the one that's relevant
right,
here.
Yeah.
The Mucha Chasam.
The Mucha Chasam, or Papa the Shayach,
the Arba Dvarim.
Yeah.
Okay, or another case. Right, that's the Gemara I quoted to you on Chasayin, Amin Aleph, in Bava Kama. Mistabra. Okay. So that Gemara never actually says. That Gemara never actually says that you're Gola. That's the point. The Gemara I read you says, Bivimto Lokana, Yechayv in the Arba Dvarim. So what about Gola? Satosis says, Mistabra de Mes Gola. The Ode. So that was one part. Satosis comes with a whole bunch of scenarios where you are considered Shogeg for the purposes of Golos, but and Shogeg Mamish, but Karov Lemezid enough to be Mishayv in the Arba Dvarim.
It seems like it's only
correct.
Yeah.
Correct. But in other words, the point is that if you're really a shogeg legabe the galus, then if the guy didn't die, then you should be a shogeg and only be chayev in nezek. Right? And if you're a shogeg krov lemezid, and therefore you're chayev in four of the five things, not in boshas, because boshas requires kavana mamish, then you should also be not eligible for galus, because you should be a shogeg krov lemezid, who's not gola, who's, you know, it's open season for the goel adam. So Tosus tries to, and Tosus suggests that we do have this liminal case where you're shogeg to be shogeg mamish legabe galus legabe ari miklot, but you're sufficiently karov lemezid to be chayav in arba dvarim. Inami, the more interesting answer. Ode. So what does that mean?
Yeah. So we were trying to. We were trying to work that out ourselves, but it seems literally speaking, it means that I guess you intended to wound the person, you didn't intend to kill
him. You intended to wound him, and then you accidentally lost control of your fist, and and he bumped into it, and at that point he died. Now the problem with this, what's the problem with this teretz? I mean, it's plausible. Sometimes, most of the time, when you hit people, you don't intend to kill them. Even when you beat them with the tree branch, yes.
I mean, that's not an unusual way to kill someone necessarily.
Therefore,
it should be a shogeg karov
lemezid. You think so? Yeah. Right. In other words, if I take a swing at you, and I hit you and I hit you a little too hard and you die, I think that's shogeg karov lemezid.
Would that be a case where you hit him and you didn't realize that there was like a pit behind him, he falls and breaks his neck, something like that. Like, you caused his death, but you weren't even aware of the situation. That
so when does that approach shogeg? Okay, I mean, I don't know, maybe.
Or if he has a very unusual heart condition that you've set off, even though objectively you've hit him in a way to give him a bruise.
Okay, maybe. All right. Fine. So that's what Tosus points out, that it's a little more complicated than you realize at first glance when the Gemara says that he was a shogeg, because that's nice that it solves the problem not requiring hasra, and why we're watching to figure out whether he goes to galus, and that's why it's not a shaila for Rabbi Yochanan. There's no raya that Hovel is mishalim ve'inu loke, because in this case there's not going to be any malchus because he is because there's no hasra, and because there's no hasra, he is The point of being Choveshim, according to Tosis, is to see whether he's chayef to go to Golos. But then you have to explain why you chayef in the in Sheva. Again, you could have said he's only chayef in Nezek. The only problem is the Pasuk says you're chayef in Shevas and Ripoy. And Shevas and Ripoy are only when you're amazed. So if you're amazed, then Hadron Kosher L'Duchtus. You have to say, somehow, klape the Golos, you're Shoge, klape the Arba Dvarim, you're amazed. Whether that's accomplished by saying your mom is shogi legabe one and mezid legabe the other, or by establishing a case which is a shogi almost karv lemezid but not quite karv lemezid, that for the purposes of golos it's not karv lemezid so you gola, for the purposes of dalad varim it is karv lemezid and therefore you pay the dalad varim. Alright, fine. Let us begin the next sugya. This I hope so many of you saw. So, Dovi, did you see?
Yeah, but I didn't make enough progress. I'd rather help you tomorrow.
Okay, fine. Yaakov. Mechubad with the Kriya. Mechubad with Kriya Sagimara. Okay. Rish Lakish Amar.
Rish Lakish Amar. Hamani. Rinari. Damar Loka Moshali.
Okay, so firstly, what is Rish Lakish commenting on? As the stira that the Gemara posed between the Mishnah in Ksubas and the Mishnah in Gittin, Makos, on the assumption that Ein Adam Loke U'Mishalim, and therefore that Mishnah says you get Malkos, and this Mishnah says that you pay money. So Reish Lakish says, Hamani, Rabbi Meir he the Amar Loke U'Mishalim. Right. In other words, so the answer is yes, you are Loke U'Mishalim, because according to the Chachamim, which Mishnah is Rabbi Meir, by the way, according to the statement? The Mishnah Ksubas. Mishnah Makos is the Chulei Alma. According to the Chachamim, Reish Lakish, the way Rashi says, Hamani masnisen the katani ba'al achosom no saying knas. Rabbi Merhi, the Amar Le'eloko Mishalim. In other words, there's no problem with the Chachamim holding in the Mishnah and Makos. Right? Could Reish Lakish hold like Ulav Chachamim? I suppose he could. And then what he'd have to say, that the Mishnah Makos is a Bogeris. Why not?
Unless there is a
Mama,
you would give up.
Maybe he can't hold like Ulav. He held like Ulav. Reish Lakish must hold that according to the Chachamim, you never ever pay by these cases, right? So it has to be only. In other words, he has to. So that means that the Mishnah in Makos is Aliba the Chulei Alma. The Mishnah in Ksubas is Aliba the Rabbi Meir. It has to be that way. And how does he hold? He holds presumably like Rabbi Yochanan in the sense that. In a case where this Mammon and Malkos in these cases, you get the Malkos.
Couldn't it be that he holds the mission in Malkos after
the marriage? Well, but what would the Din be Aliba?
Yeah.
What?
If you call it Chulei Alma, then yes.
But is it possible to say he's being working both Mishnayos? Like?
But what did the Chachamim hold? By Baal Achosa when she's in Ara. They got to hold the one or the other. You're either going to be an Onish Mammon or Onish Malkos.
Correct, but
And Reish Lakish holds that for the Chachamim, you understand the key points for Reish Lakish, whenever there's a Chi of Malkos, I don't know what I was even fumfering about. According to Reish Lakish, whenever there's a potential Chi of Malkos, you don't get the money. So you can't come up with it, you can't use a scenario, an Ula type Teretz or a Yochanan type Teretz, because the din is always the same. For the Chachamim, for a mayor, you're Loka Mishalim. For the Chachamim, you're Loka. And if there's no Malkos, then nothing.
But the Mishnah isn't saying in the Makos that you get Malkos and that you don't pay.
I agree. The point is that the din of the Mishnah there is both according to the Chachamim and Rabbi Meir. Once you say that, there's no reason to say that that Mishnah is Dafka Rabbi Meir, because the Chachamim agree with the Mishnah. So I don't know what it means to say, oh, that Mishnah is Rabbi Meir. But the Chachamim agree, so. Fine. So now the Gemara says, Okay, the problem is at the end of this Mishnah, on Daf Lamed Vav, says that if your Baal Bito is pata from Knas, why is he pata from Knas? Because of Kamlai B'de Rabbi Minei. The Mishnah says that that presumably we assume that's not Rabbi Meir, because Rabbi Meir doesn't hold the Kamlai B'de Rabbi Minei. Now, we know Rabbi Meir. How do we know actually what Rabbi Meir holds up until this point? There are three scenarios of Kamlai B'de Rabbi Minei. Malchus and Mammon, Mis and Mammon, Mis and Malchus. What do we know about Rabbi Meir Shita and Kamlai B'de Rabbi Minei?
We know that Mis and Malchus.
What? Say it.
How
do we know that?
Wait,
for Rabbi Meir. What do we really know? What did Rabbi Meir say? Now, there are a lot of things in Shas, and we've encountered this before and we encountered it again, where we say, so-and-so holds X. One of the very important questions to ask is, how do we know so-and-so holds X? For example, take a concept such as Melacha She'ina Tzricha L'Gufa. We all know that Rabbi Shimon is potar on a Melacha She'ina Tzricha L'Gufa, right? In Shabbos, you guys familiar with the sugya just a little bit? Right. We all know that, except for the Chachmei HaYerushalmi. We all know that, right, somehow. But the Chachmei HaYerushalmi actually didn't believe that. It has to do with a question of how you read a certain Mishnah on Shabbos, which you've all read, in effect, only knowing the Sheet of the Babli. Right? But the Yerushalmi has a totally different reading of the Mishnah, and it emerges, according to the Yerushalmi, Rabbi Shimon is in Potah and Melacha She'ina Tzricha L'Gufa. There may not be such category according to the Yerushalmi. Now, clearly what that does mean is one thing. Rabbi Shimon never explicitly said Melacha She'ina Tzricha L'Gufa is Potah, because if he had, then the Yerushalmi would never have said what it said. Right? Nowhere does Rabbi Shimon or Rabbi Yehuda explicitly articulate their opinions about Davar She'ina Miskaven. We all know, again I put that in quotes, that Rabbi Yehuda holds Davar She'ina Miskaven is either Asur or Chayiv, and Rabbi Shimon holds it as Mutar. Where exactly do they say such a thing? Well, you have to try to figure that out. It's certainly not explicit. So I'm asking you now, Danny, what do we know right now as a fact about Rabbi Meir's Shita?
Yeah.
Correct. We have the Mishnah in Makos where Rabbi Meir says black on white that Me'idin Ano Bishploni Shuchayev L'Chaver Masayim Zuz, that he's Lokel Mishalim. What does he? So we know that he doesn't hold the Kamei B'Rabbi Minei there. We don't know necessarily that he holds the Kamei B'Rabbi Minei anywhere. The Gemara says there's a drush of Kedei Rishaso that we've shown him that we've seen so far. Argue that for Rabbi Meir, there is a principle of Kedei Rishaso by Misa and Malchus. I think the Gemara is going to say it at some point later. I think it's in our Perek also. I think it's somewhere. That observation is made. What Rabbi Meir do Kedei Rishaso? He says for Malchus in our Perek. Said for Misa and Malchus. Okay, but you know, it's possible Rabbi Meir just didn't darshan it that way. Right? He could have not darshan it. But I want to know what we know for sure Rabbi Meir says. So then the Gemara raises the possibility. You know what the solution to the problem is? Maybe Rabbi Meir only believes that Adam loke Mishalim. But maybe Rabbi Meir believes that Eidon the Mason Mishalim. You know, once you kill him, that's already a lot. You know, to make him pay money then, that's just going overboard. Malchus and Mammon, no, not such a big deal. So the Gemara continues. Achitema, Rabbi Meir loke Mishalim, go ahead. Does he not hold the Adam Mesa Mishalim? Vatanya. Okay, the Chacham and Potron. So this Brisa is now going to become the discussion of the next blot. And the truth is, all the Gemara has to do is solve the problem in the next few lines and it's done. But now, what you see from this point onward until Rabba, so it's next, not quite, next Amud and a third, is found in a virtually identical form in the Sugya in Bava Kamma. Okay. So what does the Braisa say? It says that you're not chayev on dalad. Rabbi Meir's bechayev on dalad v'hei for three scenarios. You steal an animal and you either slaughter it on Shabbos, you slaughter it l'shem avodah zarah, or the animal is a shor haniskal. What's the punishment for slaughtering an animal for avodah zarah? Skila. What's the punishment for slaughtering an animal on Shabbos? Skila. What's the punishment for slaughtering a shor haniskal? What? Nothing. Nothing. Okay. So Ramir says that in all three cases, you pay dalet v'hei. Now, if you didn't know anything about anything, it would be unremarkable. Okay. You stole, you slaughtered, the Torah says you pay dalet v'hei. Very nice. But we know that there's a mitigating, potentially a mitigating factor, which is that kamei b'derabbi mineh. And therefore, and the Chachamim say pater. Why? Let's talk about why the Chachamim say pater. At first glance, it's easy to explain the Chachamim Shita. Why you pater? Well, two of the cases, you pater on kamei b'derabbi. That's easy. Shabbos and avodah zarah. Because at the time that mischayev and the dal v'hei, you also mischayev skila. Therefore, ain on the mesa mishalim, you get the misa, you don't pay. Fine, that's simple. What about shor hanisko? What? So we would have just said that a shor haniskal has no value. How much is it worth? Zero. And therefore, you don't pay anything. In fact, shor haniskal is the most difficult problem to actually solve. And it has its own mini sugya that's found here and found in the parallel sugya and Ayin Aleph in Bava Kamma, but whose original sugya is way back on Daf Menhei or something in Bava Kamma. Yes.
Is checking the shor haniskal usur?
Not really. I mean, there's no specific isser you violate, just that you shecht it, it's still asur b'hana. You can't do anything with it.
You ruin the mitzvah, though.
You mevatel the mitzvah of, you know, of skila. Maybe it's a bit lasse. On the other hand, you could argue it's a mitzvah. You're destroying a davar hamazik min ha'olam. So, yeah, okay. You know, is it, you know...
Maybe the assumption is you're eating the shor.
No. Even if you go ahead and eat it, so you're violating the aveira, being nene from isur achila, you probably get malchus for it, but that's for eating it, not for shechting it. You shecht it, so the animal's dead. The animal can no longer gore anybody. You've removed the danger from the world. So maybe you mevatel the mitzvah saseh of sakol yisakel ashor. No, okay, but nonetheless, it's not a lav. There's no kares. There's no misa. There's no punishment for it. Okay, so maybe it's not a good thing spiritually. Okay. Moshe?
Is this called past tense, or what tense is it?
No. A shor haniskal. Okay, excellent. You'll get another one-tenth of a credit of Hebrew. Okay. How would we pronounce it for those who distinguish it? Havara Ashkenazit. Those who speak Havara Ashkenazit. Well, that should be probably Havara Ashkenazis. How do you distinguish between past tense and present tense? Which is which?
So, patach is past tense.
Patach is normally, by regular verbs, patach is past tense, and kamatz is present tense. Niskal was stoned, niskal is being stoned. Eli, how do you make a bracha when you drink water? What do you say? Zach, when you make a bracha on water, what do you say? What's the difference? Niyeh and niyah. I knew what the Sfaradim say also. Okay? And what's the difference in meaning? Here you should know it flips. It's the reverse. Nhiya is past tense. Nhiya is present tense. Okay.
So why do we say past tense?
I don't know. The truth is that whole verb of to be is very, very funny anyway. It's a very funny verb. I'm not going to explain right now. So it behaves in very funny ways. Think about what's the difference between nihiya and haya, if there is. So bottom line is, just know that in normal verbs, patach is the past tense, kamatz is the present tense. If you're trying to remember whether it's nirah or nir'eh, which is the, with those two words, Lashem Hanirei Lav, Aharnirei Lav, so you know that it has to be Hanirei with a segol if you're laning, because only participles, only Hoveh gets a Hei HaYidiyah on the front normally. So anyway, it would be Asher near a elav, but ha near a elav. And I tell you that because it's a useful rule for me to remember when I'm laning, because I never remember whether it's near a or near a. So anyway, so patach, past tense, kamatz, present tense, but when you get the haze at the end, nihia, nihia, near a, near a, so kamatz now becomes the past tense, and segel is the present tense.
So this is nis-kol.
What's that?
This is
a shor ha-niskal. It means a shor that is being stoned, that is to be stoned. Okay, not a shor ha-niskal. If you speak in Havara Sfardit, then you can't hear the difference.
Wait, sorry, which one's which? The kamatz is...
present tense, patach is past tense. The binyan is called, almost always, binyan is called by the name of the past, third masculine singular past tense. Right? It's binyan po'al, like kasav. It's binyan nif'al, nichtav, that's past tense. That's how you remember that patach is normally the past tense. Kamatz is, by default, is the present, but that's by regular verbs. Okay? Fine.
So how much credit do you have?
One-tenth of one credit. Okay, you're adding them up. I don't know the department's going to actually honor it. Okay, but whatever. Fine. I'll keep reducing my percentages, you know, like the Zeno's paradox. Okay, so now a guy takes a shor ha-niskal, so you're not allowed to eat it. And the presumption right now is the shor ha-niskal is worth nothing. There is, by the way, that is not what the Gemara's objection to it is to it, although there might be more or less the same objection. The Gemara will say something slightly different. We'll deal with it when we get to it. Fine. So the Chachamim's position seems readily understandable. Rabbi Meir's position on two of the three, on some level, is readily understandable, provided that you don't say Kalevi the Rabbi Bine. So what do you see, though? You see that Rabbi Meir holds that you don't say Kalevi Rabbi Bine, even by Misan Mamon, and therefore this Mishnah cannot be Rabbi Meir, because if it were Rabbi Meir, not only would someone who's Baal Achoso pay Knas and get Malkos, but someone who's Baal Bito would pay Knas and be put to death. So, the Gemara says, that shows you that the Mishnah can't be Rabbi Meir. So now the Gemara says, Ha'itmar Allah. Okay, did anybody figure out, even though it's not really important except for, you know, for reading the Gemara itself, what exactly is going on here? What's the Ikad Amri? Who's this, you know, this is like, who said what? The first version is easy. We had a Braisa, Itamar Allah, about it was said, Rabbi Yaakov said, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, whatever is to come and follow. That version I understood. Amar Yaakov, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, b'toveach ha'yidei acher. That I understand. What's the alternative version? Okay, so the second one is that Rabbi Yirmiya said in the name of Reish Lakish, quote, Rabbi Abin, Rabbi La, and the entire Chabur said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan the following. So apparently, he wasn't there when the matter was uttered. Yes, he was a contemporary, and he was his brother-in-law. So one of these, so somehow, this interpretation goes back to the same person, whether by direct quotation or by somewhat less direct quotation. Okay, so what did Rabbi Yochanan say? Amri? All right, b'toveach al yidei acher. So what does that mean? I steal it, and I give it to you to shech for me. So how does this solve the problem? Because you get the death penalty. I don't. So for me, there's no kalma b'drabim, you know? And I'm chayv and dal v'hei. So the Gemara immediately responds with a little mini sugya that belongs in Kiddushin, which is in Kiddushin, in fact. The Gemara says, hold on one second here. V'chi. Ah, what do you mean? Ein shliach l'dvar avera. How can I understand why the balabayis, the ganav, is not chayiv misa because he didn't do the tvicha? But why is he chayiv and dal vehei? After all, he didn't do the tvicha. Ah, but somebody did the tvicha on his behalf. Is he chayiv misa for that? No. Ein shliach l'dvar avera. If I asked you to be mechal Shabbos on my behalf, I'm not chayiv if you do it. You're chayiv if you do it. So if he's pater on if I'm pater on Shabbos, I should be pater on the tvicha mechir as well. And again, the Gemara doesn't spell it out, but it's obvious within the topic itself that it's that ein zechote v'zem eschayev because you're pater on Shabbos. That's why the havamini would pay money, not a havamini, but a maskani you pay money. So the answer is Amar Rava.
Amar Rava. Amar Rav Shlomo. Rav Shlomo
Okay. Here I will. Here I will insist on correcting the pronunciation because it's a pasuk. Utvacho o mecharo. I know that whenever people read, you know, Gemaras, so people say, what's an example? When they stick some, people say ganoshar nisko v'tavcha. That's a very base medrash reading. So I will tolerate that. But when you read the pasuk, it's utvacho, right? We say amro mish. You know, he said it. It's really amoro. But you know, we don't talk. Most people don't talk that way in the base medrash, so that's okay. But you read the pesukim, it's utvacho. O mecharo. So now the interpretation of this is. This hekesh has multiple meanings. For our purposes, it teaches you that just as mechira has to be aidei acher. Why? Because one cannot engage in selling something he stole or something that he owns unless someone else participates in the sale. And in fact, arguably, when you sell something, who is the one who actually performs the act?
The buyer.
The buyer is the one who makes a kinyan, typically. The buyer is the one, in fact, maybe always, in all the cases, Hagbah, Meshicha, Mesira, Kesef, you could say is both parties, really. You know, he hands the Kesef over, what? So even in a kinyan chatzer, so I'm not, the Makna is certainly not doing anything. All he's doing is giving Rishus. So it's the Kona again.
Giving Rishus is the entire action.
Okay, but the bottom line is that when you talk about somebody doing something, you know, by the way, the Kona also has to give Rishus. He has to have Das to be Kona. But in a regular case of Kenyan, the Makna needs to have Das to give Das. The Kona just needs to perform the action with Das, but he needs to perform an action. So if Mechira is Aide Acher, and nonetheless you're Chayev, then Tvicha also can be done Aide Acher, which teaches you that the Shliach Ledvar Avera by Dalet Vehe. Of course, the Hekesh is not 100% waterproof. Why? There is an easy response to the Hekesh, which is Ein Donin Efshar Mishi'i Efshar. Right? How do you prove from Tvicha, which you could do on your own, from a situation where there's no way to do it on your own, so that by definition, Mechira requires two parties, another party, whereas maybe Tvicha, you wouldn't say that. Mechira, when you do Mechira, by the way, we don't say that it works mitam that ain't shlech dvara, that yesh shlech dvara vera. That's not why you're chayav when you do Mechira, despite the fact that it was another party. You're chayav because you do Mechira. Mechira happens to be done with another party, but you're chayav for your role in the Mechira. Maybe by Shechita you would say that no. By Shechita you can do it yourself, therefore you're not mischayav if someone else does it for you. Yesi?
Is that, I guess I have two questions. Number one, is that also an attack on the Svara?
Of Divrei Rav, Divrei Talmud?
No, Rava. It's not a drasha, he's just explaining that.
This is a drasha. It's a drasha the Gemara used in a couple of places. You know, and the question is, how much do you have to equate Tvicha and Mechira? The Tosus here points out that Reish Lakish in Baba Kama says that any situation where there couldn't be Mechira, there's no din of Tvicha either. Uh-huh. Even though there should have been a din of Tvicha, it should have been Chayiv. If there cannot be Mechira, then you're not Chayiv on Tvicha either. Right, so there is some type of a hekesh. The question is, how far do you want to take it? So here, Rava says the hekesh teaches you that just like mechira can have another party involved and you're chayiv, even though it's definitional, so tutficha can have another party involved. And while you can have two people who do shechita, nonetheless, his assumption is even if another person does the entire shechita, him or herself, you are still the mishaleach is still chayiv. Yaakov.
What about the original brayta? Why doesn't it deal with mechira? Like couldn't it also?
Which original brisa?
The Tashma, Ganavitov, Bishabas, Utsbach, Bishabas.
So, what would you like it to have had? Ganavimach, Bishabas?
Should it also have included Mechira in the original?
In that brisa?
In that brisa.
Ganavimach, Bishabas. No, why not? We already dealt with this topic of Ganavimach, Bishabas in one of the Tosis and we did on Daf Lam Bezanal. Because you're not Chai Misa for Mechira on Shabbos. Uh-huh. Fortunately, things like Vidaber Davar. And Mecha Chumemka are not Chai Misa. Otherwise, all the Balabatim would be dead. Maybe most of the Rabbanim too. Yes, Zach.
Doesn't what you just said about this?
In other words, the first half of the Brisa would be correct, Chaya, but the Chachamim would be Poter.
So why does the Drush? Meaning, the Drush is that everything that, or just.
Like, no, so Rabba's not. Well, right now we're not saying. Tosus asked Akash about something about with the Reish Lakish, but let's put that aside for the moment. It's not a full flat. It doesn't say that Mamish to Dinim are always identical. Zah?
What you said about Indel and Esha and the Eisha, doesn't that kind of ruin all any kind of Hekish? I mean, if you have a Hekish, give me an example.
Don't.
I was just saying, if you know something is objectively true by one thing, therefore you can apply it to the other thing.
No, the point is that you know it's objectively true by one thing, but the din could have been in Metzias, and then the Metzias allowed for what potentially another din by that thing. Whereas,
let me look at
take an example where this is raised in Yafamos. The question is, if you have a ger shet toval velo mol, is he a ger? So either Rabbi Lez or Rabbi Yeshua, this is already a few weeks ago in Daf Yomi, Daf Mem Heimem Vav, one of them says that the gerus is good if a man only does tefillah and doesn't do milah, learning from the imahos, the women who converted, let's say, at Matan Torah, women who convert now also, but using them as the paradigm, the original women who converted, why? Because they only had tefillah, they didn't have milah, and their gerus was good. So therefore, if a ger is tava v'lomol, the gerus is good. So why does the other daya disagree? The answer is, ain't done an efshar, mishi efshar. In other words, you can't say that gerus doesn't require, that gerus doesn't require Mila, it's not Makeves by Gerus. Just because by the mothers it wasn't Makeves, it's because by the mothers it wasn't Shayach. But let me tell you how we could have spoken about this. Let's say we had a Pasuk. We don't. Now, let's say that our forefathers in Maimon Har Sinai had converted only through Tvila without Mila. Then everybody would agree. You could conclude that a ger doesn't require Mila's not Makeves by ger. Why? Because by the Avos, the Torah could have required Mila and Tvila. It does, but the Mila wasn't Makeves, so therefore, that's a case of Efshar. In other words, there were two options the Torah had. It could have said Mila and Tefillah required, or Mila is sufficient at least with the Eved. And therefore, if the Torah had said that Tefillah was sufficient with the Eved, we could have learned from that. But if you're talking about the Imahos, where the Torah says Tefillah is sufficient, well, that's because the Torah could not have mandated Mila by the Imahos. So therefore, in Don and Efshar, we know that you're supposed to have Mila and Tvila by a ger. Is the Mila Makeves? The answer is, you can't learn from the Imos that it's not Makeves, because there, it's Efshar, there was no other way. Okay? So that's why not every Hekesh is subject to that rule. In fact, most are not subject to that rule. Most of the time, it's where it's binary. You had a choice in the original din. Could the Torah made the din A? Could the Torah made the din B? In fact, that it made the din A, now we want to learn from that to our circumstance. Daniel.
The Rambam employs a hekesh to prove the ain't shleich for the bar meira doesn't apply to ganav v'macha.
Correct.
If we already have ribuyim
to ganav v'tavach. Ganav v'tavach.
Ganav v'tavach. If we already have ribuyim from tanaim, meaning, did Rava just not hold by the ribuyim?
Okay, so Rava obviously didn't know of those makoros, or he didn't accept them, one or the other. But since they're tanaitic, I'd like to say that he didn't know about them, rather than say he didn't accept them, because presumably if he knew of them in the tanaitic, he wouldn't have rejected them. You know, either knew and considered the brisa not authoritative, or he just didn't know the brisa. Amoraim did not have to know brises, right? Every time the Gemara, you've heard this from me before, every time the Gemara says Tanya Nami Hachi, it means the Amoraim didn't have the brisa, because otherwise he would have cited it from the brisa. Instead, he said the Din Misfar, and it happens to be a brisa that says the same thing.
Yeah, but Tanya Nami Hachi usually is mamish the same. This is a different drasha.
Correct.
To prove the same.
Okay. Yeah. By the way, doesn't change things. So one interpretation was based upon the Hekesh. The Tana, the Mei Rabbi Yishmael Tana. Go ahead. And the Bechiz. Okay, so in other words, you could have gotten away without the words or tachas, however you could have done away with them. And therefore, they're miyutar, and therefore you darshan the rabbis as hashaliach. Okay. So, now how have we solved our problem? We solved our problem by claiming you want to know why Rabbi Meir is mechayev. If the Rav Meir holds that ain Adam meis umishalem, so why is Rav Meir mechayev here? So the answer is because it was done ayyadei shaliach. So more or less, this is the end of our Gemara. We've answered the question. We've solved the problem. Reish Lakish holds that the Mishnah, he says the Mishnah is Rabbi Meir, the Adam Loka Mashalim, but Rabbi Meir holds that Einad the Mesa Mashalim. And that Braisa in Bava Kamma is an exception because it's a case where it was Ayre Shaliach, and therefore the Shaliach gets the Misa, and therefore the Mishaliach has to actually pay. Okay, fine. Of course, before the Gemara goes on, that leaves us with a different problem, which is, then why are the Chachamim poter? And you could, of course, say, but as one of the Mishalim Tosos, maybe in Bava Kamma points out, the Gemara could have said, the Chachamim hold Ein Shlich L'Dvar Aveira by Tvicha. Right, they could have said that. There are three things, by the way, where we say Yesh Shlich L'Dvar Aveira, that everybody agrees to, because the Gemara says black and white. And they are Tvicha Mechira, number one. Number two, Yeshlech Dvar Avera, the three exceptions. Tvicha and Mechira, number one. Number two, Me'ila. And number three, see, that's what I want to have. I want to have Shwepardy with Torah content. Okay. It's like Torah Bowl. I get it. Torah, you know, the equivalent of Torah of College Bowl. Okay. And the third answer. What is Shlichus Yad? There you go. All right, excellent. Shlichus Yad b'pikadam. So those are the three dinim. And some Rishonim claim, although there's an obvious problem, that whenever you're shogeg, whenever the shaliach is a shogeg, so the din is yeshlich dvar avera, because the svara of divrei rabbi, divrei talmud, divrei mishomim doesn't apply. Not our discussion for now. But you should know, just file that bekias away. Okay. So now the Gemara asks, so we're going to have to explain the Chacham Shita, but the Gemara doesn't want, it's going to explain it in a little bit, but now the Gemara says something very, very important, conceptually very profound, which is, go ahead. So again, what's the Gemara's question? So we have a principle that Kol Milsa Dehu lo matzi aved, shaliach lo matzi l'shavuye. If I can't do something myself, then I can't appoint the shaliach to do it on my behalf. Again, and understand something about shlichus for the moment. What does it mean, shlucho shel adam kemosa? Yes, but we don't realize it means something very radical. We talk about shlich shalom. If a man divorces his wife ayidei shaliach, what does that mean? It means the man who gives that woman the get is like he is the baal. In other words, he's not a delivery person. If you send a get in the mail with the postal worker, the get is posel. I mean, when the get's not posel, it's not a valid gerushin. Given the mesiras haget is not just about physically moving the piece of paper into the woman's reshus. Mesiras haget is actually the gerushin. It's not enough to write a piece of paper. The way you divorce your wife is by taking a piece of paper, a certain kind of piece of paper, and putting it in her hands. It's a radical, radical chiddush that when someone else goes and does the act of putting the piece of paper in her hands, a person who is not her husband, that she is now megureshes. Same thing by Kiddushin. You see, we think about Shlichus as, I ask you to deliver money to repay a loan for me. So the bottom line is, once the loan gets repaid, of course, why is it that the loan I'm pata from paying? Is it because there's Shlichus and the person handed the money back? No. It's because you took possession of my money for the purposes of paying down, of canceling the loan. So there, while you can have a din of shaliach, fundamentally speaking, the primary purpose there is the physical delivery of the money. For that, you really don't need the category of shlichus. When the money reaches you, the loan is paid back. But when we talk about being, there's shlichus, the concept of shlichus means that the shaliach becomes the mishaleach, at least for the purposes of the shlichus. And therefore, you can understand for a moment what the hava means, yesh shlich hadvar avera. If I appoint you to do X, I did X. If I appoint you to kill someone, I have murdered someone. So that's the point of the Gemara, that ein shaliach l'dvar avera. But there are exceptions to the rule, that when you perform an action, it's as if I did it. But the rule is that if I cannot do the action myself, I can't appoint the shaliach to do it. What does it mean? It means I can do the action myself. I can ask a guy to do it. It means he can't be me because I can't be me. The Gemara, I think it's in Nedarim, I think, has a question. Are the Kohanim in the Mikdash Shluchei Didan or Shluchei Derachmana? Whatever the Nafkamina is. So why does the Gemara argue, I think it might even be the conclusion, that Kohanim are Shluchei Derachmana and not Shluchei Didan? Because if I can't, as a non-Kohen, if I can't do the Avoda, then Dovi can't be my Shaliach. So if Dovi is doing the Avoda, he's doing it because he's Shluchei Derachmana. So the Gemara's question here is the following. If I did the act of Tzvicha and Mechira on Shabbos, would I be Chayim and Nal Dvehei? The answer is no. So if a Shaliach does it on my behalf, and here we say that Shlucho Shel Adam Kimoso, how can I be Chayiv now when he does it? If I can't be Chayiv when I do it, how can I be Chayiv when he does it? That was Mar Zutra's question. It's actually a really good question. The Gemara is going to answer, but the answer is not as obvious at the outset because of a comment that Tosfos makes. But right now I'm not going to explain to you why the answer is not so obvious, unless one, and don't jump up unless it's been bothering you and you couldn't sleep last night because you learned the Gemara yesterday and you were so bothered by the Gemara and you hadn't looked to see that Tosfos was bothered by your Kasha too and says something. So what is the Gemara's answer? Wrong. It's not because I'm not Chayev. Ihu. Okay. It's not that I am not Chayev when I'm Toveach on Shabbos and Dal Vehei. It's not as a matter of principle I'm not Chayev. I just can't be made to pay because Kam Lehebet Rabbi Nevis, Beis Din will not make me pay. But it's not that fundamentally I'm exempt. It's just that Beis Din can't be Mechayev me. Now, have you seen this Svara before? Of course you've seen this Svara before, and I'm going to have to kill you, only figuratively, because we know Lo Sirtzach is an Isser, and we've been learning about these, I guess. If you don't tell me where we've seen this before! What? What? You say it, Zach. You're going to be Matzil Nefashos here, everybody else in the shir. Rava in Rava Metzia Daf Tzadi Alf by Chosem Paraso Shel Chavero Esnon Asra Torah Vafilu Baalimo. What? Yeah, that's what you said. Tosfos quotes that Gemara. What? Tosfos now on the previous Amud. What are we saying there? We're saying that a person can be chayiv in something even though he can never be made to pay. He's not being made to pay on a technicality. Because of Kalmed Rabbimnei. If I am Chosem Paras Chaveri, an issue, by the way, that's going to come back on Daf Lamadal Lamed Beis, if I am Chosem the Para of my Chaver, I don't pay, I'm Loka and Mishalem. What does Rava say? Well, I'm Loka and Beis Din. Why am I Mishalem? I'm not Mechuyiv, I'm Mechuyiv to pay. Of course I'm Mechuyiv to pay. I stole from you. I was supposed to feed your animal contractually. Beis Din won't make me pay. Because, Rava says, because a technicality, because they can't give me two punishments. They can't make me pay at the same time they're giving me malchus for the same action. But fundamentally, I'm chayiv. If a man is Baal Imo and he promised her an Esnan, of course Beis Din is not going to make him pay that. Because of Kamei the Ramimine, he's chayiv Misa. But if you ask him, Lotse Shidei Shamayim, he owes his mother the money. And that's why it's nispas be'esnan. That's why if he gives her the money, it's usur. It has a din of esnan zone, and you can't bring it on the mizbeach. If he wasn't chayiv in principle on that money, he's giving his mother a gift that he doesn't have to give her. So the same thing here. It's not that, fundamentally, that he's not a bar chiyuva on the dalvehe. It's just that he doesn't have to pay because it's kamalei d'rabbanei. Mati? That's why you should be losing sleep. Let's say if the fellow comes and asks us, okay, I slaughtered it on Shabbos. I know I'm chay misa. Should I pay him dalet v'hei? What's the answer? No. It's knas. Beis Din is mechayev you the dal of hay. It's not just Beis Din forces you to pay. That Tosus asked this kasha. It's the bottom Tosus. This is, to me, a really interesting question. And in other words, Asher Yarshiun Elohim Yishalim Shnayim Reyu. Beis Din is mechayev you the knas. Everybody agrees. There's a machlokus in certain of the details whether Moda B'Knas is always pater. Moda B'Knas V'Achar Kach Ba'u Edim is a machlokus Amorayim. But everybody agrees that Ein Adam Mishalim K'nas Al Piyatzmo. That if there are no Edim to the Maisa, and you say that you did it, you don't pay the K'nas, you don't pay the Kefil, you don't pay the Dal V'Hei. Why? Because Asher Yarshiun Elohim Prat L'Marshias Atzmo. That's the Chulei Alma. The shayla is, what if Edom come after your hodah? Is your hodah a poter, or your hodah is simply not mechayiv you? So, the question you can ask is, he's not a bar chiyuva at all. Because if he came and said, lotzei sidei shamayim, do I have to pay dal behei? The answer is no. Keren? Yeah. But knas? No. So that's a very, very good kasha. It's not clear what Tosas' answer means. Right? The kasha is very, very good kasha. So, you didn't ask it directly, Mati, but you forced me, since I have to speak MS the best that I can, I can't tell you that in all cases you're chayav bidei shamayim to pay. It depends, whether it's mamon or knas. Okay, but that's what the Gemara leaves as the answer for now. So I want to come back, I want to see if we can do a little exploration there. You know, Brick is going to work, so figure some things out for us there. Yaakov.
Just in terms of, if Rashi says that avad ihu lo mechayav deha mikto, so just what is... How does Rashi read this line? Because he says originally that he's not chayav because he's going to be killed.
So the Gemara says, Abariyu, if he did it himself, if he was toveach ayde atzma b'shabbos, he is not mechayav because he gets killed. So that's part of the Gemara's kasha.
That's
kamlai. That's kamlai b'rabim. The Gemara calls it lo michayev, lo mischayev. The Gemara's answer is, no, it's not that he's not mischayev.
So it's a comment on kamlai in general. The first question is,
Based in doesn't make him pay. The assumption the Havamina Gemara is that therefore he's called not Mischayim. And if he's not Mischayim, how can he be Mischayim through the actions of a Shaliach? The Gemara's answer is it's not that he's not Mischayim. It's just that Based in won't make him pay because of Kamlai B'der Havamina. Right? But the problem is, it's not just that Based in won't make him pay because of Kamlai B'der Havamina. He really isn't Mischayim. It's true, he's not Mischayim because of a technicality. Had it not been Shabbos, he would have been Mischayim. Kamlei b'de rabbi minei is why the Beis Din won't be mechayev him, and if the Beis Din isn't mechayev you in knas, then you're not chayev in knas. Unlike Karen, where if the Beis Din isn't mechayev you, but the emes is that you did it, you are chayev to pay. If I steal from you and you have no proof, Beis Din will not make me pay. Am I mechayev to pay you the Karen? Yes. Am I mechayev to pay you kefel? No. Okay. Anyway, so we're going to put that question on the back burner for a little bit. Now let's go on in the Gemara. Okay, so very nice. So we solve the problem. We're all happy we can go to sleep. Except for the problem is, Yibetoveach Haide Acher Ked Yaakov.
Sorry.
Second line from the bottom. Right. Okay, so it's such a good teretz. Now you can't understand the Chachamim Shita. So the Gemara says, okay. They say that this Chachamim, who are you, Rabbi Meir, could be Shitas Rabbi Shimon. And Rabbi Shimon says that if you do a Shchita She'ena Ruya L'Achila, it's not called Shchita. Now, there's a Tosas on top of Lamed Alamav, which we're not going to do, unless you have completed everything and that I eventually give you. But I want to just make an observation that when you read the first question of Tosas, you should have realized immediately. Where does Rabbi Shimon say that Shchita She'ena Ruya Ein Shchita?
Parable.
thank you. After not having done your homework, which I didn't really expect you to do because I asked you to get through the Gemara, I don't expect you to look up the Gemaras, but I expect if you know something, if somehow you have ideas, or you had such a, you couldn't control the overwhelming urge to check the parallels because I've been hammering it into your head now for months. So then, and you looked up the Gemara, what legabe, what idiom does Rabbi Shimon say? Shchit the shein v'lashon shchita. By the way, everybody, if you look at the Gemara, everybody agrees, shchit the shein v'lashon shchita. You know why? Because you're not allowed to eat it. Right? In other words, it's not, on some level, it's not shchita. So what does it mean to say? He just tells you where it is. He just gives you the prakim names. He doesn't, now, you could use the prakim names, however, but it's misleading. He gives you three prakim, but there are only two dinim. The Merperek Merubah is the parallel to this. Okay? It's the same issue under discussion. Like, there's an assumption, the assumption the Gemara is making here is that Rav Shimon's klal of shchita she'ein ri'ah lav she'ein shchita applies to Tavicha. Tavicha. Okay? Why wouldn't it?
What's
that? Oh, so, why wouldn't it? Well, those are losases. This is a mamanos issue. I'm not saying it doesn't. Tosus gives you... Tosus talks about, actually, why the Chachamah might even agree with Rabbi Shimon here. The makuf Rabbi Shimon, by the way, is utvach tavach v'hachein ki iti yochlon ha-shem atzarayim. This week, next week's parsha. Okay, close enough. Where does Rabbi Shimon actually state the din? Rabbi Shimon himself may never state it explicitly here. Where does Rabbi Shimon state the din explicitly? That is shchita she'ein ra'uya, which means that you did a proper malacha, maisa of shchita. You shech, in other words, if you botch the shchita, what's the din? We have one word for it. If you spell things chaser, it's a four-letter word, but we don't. We usually spell male. It's called nevela. If you botch the shechita, however you botch it, you fulfill one of the five dinim halacha l'moshe mi-sinai in shechita. Know that, by the way, for your smich, if you have plan to attend to apply to kolal, you should probably know the chamisha psulim of shechita. You might get asked that question. Okay? So, basic ideas. So it's called nevela. But let's say you do the shechita properly. You do it mechanically. But now there's something that renders the animal that you can't eat it. There's some isser that's resting upon it. So what's the nafkami? What cases does it matter? Do we want to know whether the shechita? You can't eat it either way. So where do we? Is it important to us to figure out whether it was really called the shechita? So number one, simplest case is: Do you have to be mechaseh the dam? If it's a chaya or an oaf, if it's not a proper shechita, if you believe that it's not called shechita, then there doesn't even say shechita there, but it's v'shafach estamo, but we understand that the shvicha is shechita. So therefore, if it's not a proper shechita, therefore you don't have to be mechaseh the dam. Number two, by oso bespenel. If you shecht an animal, you may not shecht, if it's a female animal for sure, you may not shecht its offspring on the same day. And if you shecht the offspring, one of the offspring, you cannot shecht the mother, for sure, some say the father too, on that day. Go learn Chulin, will you? Okay. Everybody agrees by the mother, it's a machlokas by the father, whether choshushin lezerav, machlokas chananyin lechacham. So, what happens if I shecht the mother, and then we check its lungs, and it turns out there's a sircha in the lungs, the animal is inedible because it's a trefa. Let's say it's a vadai trefa, not a chumra, but vadai midarais, it's a trefa. So the question is, are you allowed now to go, and she can't eat that one, so let me shecht the vlad. So it depends. If the shechita, the mother, which is not real achilas, called shechita, then you can't shecht the vlad because it would be osov espenol osi shechatu biyom echad. You got to shecht both of them in order to violate it. But if you believe that a shechita she'ein ruya lav shmei shechita, so then when you shecht the mother, it turns out to be a vadai trefa daraisa. It's not called a shechita, so now you can shecht the vlad because you didn't shecht both of them on one day. It's as if you beat the mother over the head with a frying pan until you killed it. You rendered it in a vela, and then you now want to shecht the vlad, which everybody agrees is mutter. The question is, if you did a maisa shechita, but the animal is inedible, is that called shechita or not? So they want to say that in our case, the reason why the chachamim apoter is because it's a shechita she'ena re'uya. Now, which of these shechitas are not re'uya slachila? Not so fast. All right, so Shara Niskal and Avodah Zarah, clearly not. When you shecht an animal, the shame Avodah Zarah, the animal is now Hasar Banah, congratulations. Okay? If you shecht the Shara Niskal, you're not allowed to eat it because it was, according to most Rishonim, already Hasar Banah. just file away a little bikias and a tosis that we're not going to do. The first tosis on the sugya, Rabbi Nutam has a shita that a shor niskal is only aser b'hana after you actually kill it. It doesn't matter how it dies, whether you do a shchita, whether you do the skila properly. Once dead, it's aser b'hana, but a shor niskal is not nesar mechaim. Most of the Bishonim, I think, assume, not like Rabbi Nutam, that Gemar Din is oserit right then. Okay? So two of them, we understand why it's not a shchita. What's that?
Even though it's also about not a subterranean name and tefillah and has a word that you have to pay for.
Which one?
That's earlier on.
The Shor Niskal.
Yeah.
For Rabbi Meir.
Yeah.
Gemara's going to get to that later.
Yeah.
That one is slips. Right. What's that?
Right.
And they're going to get to both of them later. They're going to get to both problems. I have a desire. They're going to come up with kimtas for both, which become their own mini sugyas in their own right. Especially the kimtas of Shor Niskal. Now, yes, Zach?
If you shoot the animal in the head, are you chayav to die in name?
No.
No.
No. Everybody agrees. It has to be tvacho. It has to be tvicha. The question is it tvicha or shchita she'ena ruya lachila called tvicha? But if it's, but if you don't do tvicha, what's that? Because tvicha means tvicha. If you bang it over the head till it dies, that's not tvicha. If you slaughter it, but it's got a circus on its lungs, so there you could argue you did do tvacho. Now you have to decide. Maybe tvacho also implies it's ruya lachila, or maybe not. But if you don't do maisa tvicha, tvicha means shchita. You know. Okay. So that now that brings the Gemara to say, okay, you solved two problems for the Chachamim, but you haven't solved the third. So the Gemara says, Hatenach. Shchita Ru'yahi. Right? And now they're going to go on to quote a Braisa with three deos. Okay, I'm not going to start reading the Braisa, but I want to mention to you one particular tosis in Chulin. It's a very important tosis, which we're not going to do, but it opens up a whole other sukkah. The Gemara here and in Chulin and in Bava Kamma and Meruba in the parallel sukkah quote all three deos here, the Tanaim, of when Masa Shabbos is Aser. But tosis in Chulin asks a question that the Gemara does not ask. Why is it that the shechita of the guy who does it on Shabbos b'mezid is mutter after a certain amount of time, whatever it is, whichever shechita you hold? If you don't hold like Rabbi Yochanan Sandler, a person who does shechita on Shabbos is a mechalal Shabbos and he's a mumar l'chala tarakula. And a mumar l'chala tarakula, mumar l'avodah zarah, his shechita is like an obed avodah zarah does the shechita, and the shechita is psula. Is not a din, you know, there's a machlokus, the Rav and Ramosha, with a machal Shabbos, before Hestia touches wine, whether it's Aser B'Shasiyah. So I think Ramosha held it was Aser, and the Rav held it was Mutah. Now, Pisvara, you think that the Rav is correct because the whole reason for the Gzeira on Yayin is Chasnus. You might intermarry, but you can't intermarry with a Jew. Right? There's no Isser in marrying a non-from Jew. It might make life very difficult to be married to a non-from Jew, which is how you run a household, but there's no Isser per se in the Kiddushin. So, but by shechita, it's not a din in chasnus. It's a din that an oved avodah zarah who does shechita, his shechita is nevela. Most Rishonim probably say it's nevela d'oraisa. In fact, all Rishonim say it's nevela d'oraisa. Okay, shechita's goy, who's an oved avodah zarah, who's like an oved zarah, for sure, is nevela d'oraisa. Well, most Rishonim would probably say, even if he's a goy, even if he's a ger toshav, even if he's a ger toshav, it doesn't matter if you watch it. You have to have a gavra roy in the shechita. Okay, a goy who does shechita, the assumption is shechita sa nevela. So the question is, how this should be a shechita she'ena ru'uya, because a shochet on Shabbos is a mumar l'chal Shabbos, and therefore he's a mumar l'chal tarakula, like a mumar l'chal dezar, and therefore shechita is psula, and therefore it's ena ru'uya achila. The short answer is only b'mezid. The Gemara is going to make the case. We'll assume he's doing b'mezid.
But aren't the two first opinions of Rabbi Yehuda?
Well, no. Rabbi Meir certainly, Rabbi Meir holds it's Aser only till after Shabbos. Not the way Rashi contradicts him, what he writes here elsewhere. But both according to Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Huda, if you do it B'mezid on Shabbos, other people can eat it Motzai Shabbos. And that there's no dispute. Thus, the question is, why not say that he's a Mumar L'chal Shabbos and therefore Shchitaso is Nevela? The short answer is, maybe he does this B'tzina. In order to be Mechal Shabbos Dino Ka'ovei Rav Dazar, it has to be Mechal Shabbos B'Farhesya. That's the Michal Shabbos for Hesia, which means B'yad Rama. His intent is to be kofer b'borei olam. But if he does it b'tzina, not B'yad Rama, we don't assume that he's dino kemumar lavo dezara, l'mumar l'chol torah kula. And it's for that reason, by the way, that we generally, for most purposes, don't regard non-from Jews as mumar l'chol Shabbos for Hesia. The for Hesia means not that you're doing publicly per se, but it's an act of rebellion, an act of denial. For people, most people who aren't from said it just dumb, doesn't. It's not intended as an act of rebellion or to be culpable. And just Shabbos happens not to be one of their values or principles. Okay, so tomorrow we're going to have to go through the sugya relatively quickly at Masa Shabbos. I don't want to spend much time on it as we go through this. It's really a peripheral topic. If there's anything important, I'll mention it, but that I think is important. It's a lot of important things, but things that I think are important to mention, I'll mention. But we're going to just keep going through the sugya.